A young pastor was sitting in a restaurant eating lunch. He opened a letter from his mother he had received earlier that day. As he opened it, a $20 bill fell out. He thinks to himself, "Thanks, Mom, I can use this about now." As he finished his meal, he noticed a beggar outside on the sidewalk, leaning up against the lamppost. And he thought, "That fella can probably use this $20 more than I can right now." So he crossed out the names on the envelope, put the $20 in, wrote in large letters the word "persevere." And so as not to make a scene, he tucked the envelope under his arm, walked outside, and dropped it as he walked past the beggar and went on his way. The man picked it up and smiled. The next day, while the pastor was having his lunch, the same man tapped him on the shoulder and handed him a big wad of bills. Surprised, the young pastor asked, "What is this for?" The man replied, "This is your half of the winnings. Persevere came in first in the fourth race at the track yesterday, and he paid 30-1. Oh, goodness. If we were to go to our scripture readings this morning, you'll find another story. A wonderful story. Right off the top, our first reading gives us encouragement. In it, we find a God who loves his children and wants their best. The Israelites had turned their back on him many times, and even so, he is about to bring them into the land he had promised to them many years ago and tells them he will help them succeed if they obey him and keep his commandments. Wait, what? If they obey him and keep his commandments? I knew there was a catch. What does that mean? And how do I do that? Well, apparently, the Apostle Paul knew we'd be asking this question because he explains it very well in Romans. He said, "Whoever loves another person has fulfilled the law." The commandments, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, and the others are summed up in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love doesn't do anything wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is what fulfills the law. Love is what we need. When our world gets stressful, know that others are stressed too. When the news has wars, political battles, social justice disorder, know that others are going through these chaotic emotional trials just like we are. These stresses in life aren't new, are they? 54 years ago, for instance, in 1965, racial marches and riots were taking place, including the famous Civil Rights March in Alabama. On Palm Sunday of that same year, 47 tornadoes had hit the Midwest. Over 1,000 people were injured, and there were 271 reported fatalities. In May of 65, the largest anti-Vietnam teach-in took place at the University of California in Berkeley. Tens of thousands of people attended that event. And in June that same year, the war in Vietnam had continued to worsen, and President Johnson increased the number of U.S. troops from 75,000 to 125,000. There had been so much strife and emotional upheaval throughout our country. And in June of that year, Hal David and Burt Bacharach put a song out that said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone." This need was understood in the Old Testament time of the Israelites. It was understood in the time of Jesus, when the legal expert stood up and asked Jesus, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus asked him, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You have answered correctly." It was understood when Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, when he said, "Love is what fulfills the law." It was understood in 1965, and it's understood today. We knew it then, and it's no different today. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. God told the Israelites, "This commandment that I'm giving you right now is not too difficult for you. It is not unreachable. It isn't up in heaven or across the ocean where someone has to go up to heaven or across the ocean to bring it to you so that you can hear it. Not at all," God said. "The word is very close to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, waiting for you to do it." So how do you put this into action? What does love your neighbor mean? Jesus gave a great example in our gospel reading this morning of loving your neighbor. But our neighbor might be in a different situation. He might not be someone who's been beaten by thieves and left for dead. He's in a different situation. So how can we be sure to know what we need to do? I just happen to have an idea. Galatians chapter 5 tells about the fruit of the Spirit. And do you know, would you believe, that the first word that's mentioned is love, along with joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? If we use these guidelines, we should be safe. 1 Thessalonians also says we are to encourage each other and build each other up. Love is a decision. Love is an action. It is a decision to act in helpful ways toward my neighbor, and it's a decision not to act in selfish ways that would harm my neighbor to serve me at his or her expense. Like being critical when it's not necessary, pointing fingers or being judgmental. Yes, there are times when we need to confront someone, but remember to confront them in love. Speak the truth in love. I will say that as we continue to grow in our relationship with God, talking with Him, studying His Word, allowing ourselves quiet time with Him, yes, I said, quiet time with Him, they will become more of who we are, a part of our lives. They are, after all, the fruit of His Holy Spirit. Another help is found in Philippians chapter 4, which says, "From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is admirable, all that is holy, just, pure, lovely, whatever is worthy of praise." Can you imagine making this thinking pattern a part of our lives and not being more loving, more kind, more patient, good, gentle, having more self-control? My goodness, what a thought. No, not just for some, but for everyone. And so God helps us to love our neighbor, doesn't He? Which is what He desires for us to do. You do have the capacity to love others precisely because you have first received God's love for you. You know what love is like. It's how God treats you. One of my favorite prayers gets at this so well. It's the post-communion prayer we often pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now, send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen.